Philemon, the book of Philemon, say where? I don't even know where that is. There's one chapter in the book of Philemon. If you go to the New Testament, and there's a bunch of books that start with T, all right, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, right after Titus is Philemon. If you got to Hebrews, you went too far. And it is right in between Titus and Hebrews. We're going to actually read the entire chapter this morning, the entire book of Philemon, all 25 verses. I'll read it to you, but if you can follow along as we read here this morning, I believe God has some great truths within this book. We're going to look at how we need to be a little bit more like Philemon and how God can use us a little bit like Onesimus also. And so both characters, we're going to see some personal application. And my prayer is that at the end, you'd be strengthened, encouraged, and be helped through the Word of God here this morning. Philemon, hopefully you have found it by now. If you have Scofield Bible, page 1286, if that helps you at all. All right. Verse 1, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, thou, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, though whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Verse 23, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow servant in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, as we say that, this time, Lord, we have designated a time out of our week to worship you collectively as a body, as believers, Lord. And God, I pray as your word is opened here yet again that, God, you would speak to us from it. God, you would correct us and you would encourage us. And whatever is needed in our life, Lord, you use this passage to help us. Help us to get closer to Thee. Help us to shun the ways of this world. And God, change our thinking and change our perspective of things, that we would see things how You see things. Lord, forgive us for our selfish nature, and forgive us for our prideful nature. And Lord, forgive us of oftentimes we look at how the situations just benefit us. Lord, help us to act in grace. God, thank You for being so gracious to us. Lord, we need You and love You. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great story this is. Particular to the story. I really enjoy it. Every time in my Bible reading I come to the book of Philemon, I just kind of pause there, because there's so much to it. There's so much in here. And I just enjoy the story. I enjoy redemption. I'm so thankful for it, because God takes characters that you and I would have cast off to the side and uses in a great way. And that's what we see here in the book of Philemon. It's a similar story that we see all throughout the scriptures, from we mentioned this a little while ago, of Rahab the harlot, which you and I would consider just no good to society. God says, I can use that if they turn their ways to Me. And here we're going to see another character. Philemon is the receiver of the letter written by Paul. But something special that day showed up on his doorstep. Philemon is a believer, as we see in verses 4 through 7. Jacob speaks of his character. And man, it really talks him up. I don't know if Paul is kind of warming him up to saying some hard things. You know, you kind of kiss him, kick him, and then kiss him again. You know, and I don't know if he's doing that there. But I don't feel like Paul was ever, with his words, I felt like he was always calculated, and he wouldn't say things if it wasn't true. And to some degree, Philemon fulfilled what he has said there. He has been a blessing to many and to others. Maybe he took this Onesimus in when he was young, and somewhere throughout, as we read the passage, now we don't have all the details, but we can certainly conclude some things. We can conclude that he did his boss or master wrong. He says, he was unprofitable for you. Paul says this, hey, if he owes you anything, you just charge to me, indicating maybe he stole. Maybe he did him wrong to some degree, this former servant in the house of Philemon. Again, maybe he was taken in by Philemon, given opportunity, chance after chance maybe, and then stole from his boss or master. And then ran away. Seems like things caught up with Philemon, because he meets Paul. It references, sometimes with Paul, it's tough to tell when he says, I am bound in my bonds to Christ Jesus, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Does that mean Christ had a hold of his life, which we know he did, Paul did? Or was this a reference to actually, literally, his time in Rome towards the end of his life, found himself in prison for a couple years. And he's sharing a cell with a guy. What's your name? Well, I'm Paul. I don't think he introduced himself as, well, I'm Paul the Apostle. Well, I'm Paul. What are you in here for? Well, preaching the gospel. What's your name? My name's Onesimus. What are you in here for? I'm a thief. See, certain habits just show up over and over again. If you're a thief in one place, you know what? You're going to be a thief in another place. And Onesimus, for some reason, we don't know why he stole from his boss. We don't know why he did these things. We don't know why he treated someone that seems like genuine, sincere, loving, and kind to him, took advantage of him, and then ran away. If you can imagine in your own life, if you were Philemon, you probably didn't have good things to say about Onesimus. Maybe you just chose not to talk about Onesimus anymore, because anything I do have to say is not a good thing. Well, there's Paul in prison next to this gentleman, and he starts talking to him and sharing with him the gospel, and this man changes his ways. They get talking a little bit further and come to find out Onesimus works in Philemon's house, or worked. Paul says, here's what I would like you to do. I'm going to write a letter. Onesimus, I want you to deliver it to Philemon. Imagine that day when you were a knock at your door, and all of a sudden the man that did you wrong or somehow, some way was unprofitable and then just ran away. All of a sudden there was a knock at your door, and there he stands with a letter. Maybe it had been a number of years, months, we don't know. How would you have responded? As Philemon, someone that you brought into your own home, whom you trusted, because if you give access to finances and things, you certainly trusted them to some degree. Maybe he took things that were in the home, personal things of Philemon. We don't know. But all of a sudden, that young man or that man shows up at the door. What would you do? How would you respond? This is where Philemon finds himself. Standing before him. Would you have even opened up the letter? You know, this book is placed somewhere in around 60 plus AD, meaning it's been 30 years since Christ died, rose, well, died, was buried, and rose again. And probably for the last 30 years, go with me to Matthew chapter 18. If you had a hard time finding Philemon, maybe keep your hand there. Matthew chapter 18. Paul is asking Philemon, would you please forgive Onesimus? In Christianity, one of the hardest things that you will be asked to do is to forgive somebody. Philemon didn't do, from the story, Philemon didn't do anything wrong. He extended love, kindness, a place of employment. Onesimus walked all over that, abused that, took advantage of that, took from Philemon, and then ran away. And you know what? It seems like it caught up with him. You know, wouldn't our mindset be, someone does us wrong, and then it finally catches up with them? Wouldn't our mindset be, good, finally it caught up with them? That would be our mindset, wouldn't it? Finally got what they had coming. For the last 30 years, there's been a story told over and over again. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, then came Peter to him, Matthew 18, 21, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, to which we would say an unrepayable debt. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. The only way he could even come close is to sell his entire family into servanthood. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. This is a story. This is a parable. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, a significantly less amount. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay thee all," the exact same words that he said to his master. And you would think those words would trigger a thought in his heart. But verse 30, it says, "But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee?" His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'm sure Philemon was familiar with the story. And there that day stood his moment of forgiveness. His circumstance, when he quickly goes through his mind, "What do I want to do? And then what should I do?" Those two things sometimes are very different. This is what I want to do. I want to call, as Philemon would like to call the tormentors or the officers or something to that degree, and bring Philemon before the court and get back what is owed to him. Redeeming that which was suffered and which was lost. But in his mind, the story of maybe his forgiveness with the Lord begins to sprout. And he begins to look at Onesimus and maybe sees a little bit of himself. Recalls the time when someone showed him mercy and forgave him, the God of heaven. See, that day, as the knock at the door came, it was Philemon's turn to demonstrate forgiveness. What are you going to do when the knock comes to your door? What are you going to do when it's presented to you? Romans chapter number 12. The Bible says in Romans 12, 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thy enemy hunger," what does it say? "Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And there that day, Philemon was looking at someone that had done evil to him. And he, in his mind, might have thought, "I could justify this. He has something coming to him." But instead, Philemon, through the passage, it seems that he would forgive. Not just forgive. Paul isn't just asking for forgiveness. He's asking for restitution and restoration. Look at Philemon chapter number 1. He says this, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He's banking on Philemon's character that not only will he forgive him, but maybe restore him back into that position that he once was. Holding your hand in Philemon, again, go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. In the redemption of Onesimus, number 1, forgiveness was necessary. But then, number 2, restoration to replace him into that position. Man, that is difficult. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. 1 Peter 3, 9. But contrarywise. See, that's what we see. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, evil for evil, railing for railing. Hey, this person did me wrong, therefore I get to what? Do wrong? You will not justify that through scriptures. Our perfect example of Christ never did that. Paul, time and time and time again, would preach against that. Peter is telling us that, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Philemon had been taken for a ride, had suffered loss, and Paul is now asking him, will you please be a blessing to Onesimus? Contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Hey, do it because it's right. Redeeming Onesimus, number 1, began with forgiveness. Number 2, restoration. Onesimus doesn't just show up in Philemon. He actually shows up in Colossians chapter number 4. Would you turn there? This book is written right around the same time, maybe even after. If you look at Colossians chapter number 4, verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you in the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. Look at who shows up with him, with Onesimus. Look at his description now. Remember what he was. He was a thief. He ran away, got caught up somehow with Paul, maybe even in prison, where his actions finally caught up with him. He describes him as a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Isn't it something how God can just completely change our life? This is what Onesimus was. And now look at what he is. Man, praise the Lord. I like that verse in the scriptures where it says, and such were some of you. Hey, let's remember that. Let's remember that who we were also. Let's remember that we too needed forgiveness and we too needed restoration, and now we have an opportunity to serve the Lord together. Paul says one of the most important qualities of a servant is that that they be faithful. That's exactly how he describes Onesimus. A faithful and beloved brother. To demonstrate faithfulness means that they went through some hard times together. They went through times where the Bible tells us about another man, his name is Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas didn't stick with faithfulness. Onesimus did. That means God completely changed his character. Again, let us remember Onesimus. He stole or taken somehow and then ran away. And now, through hard times, what is he doing? He's sticking by it. What a complete change. So much so that Paul could entrust him with responsibility. Hey, I need you to take these letters to these churches here. And one of the hardest things is to ask somebody, hey, can you do this or get this job done? And then in the back of your mind thinking, that's not going to get done. No, Onesimus was faithful. Faithful. What a change. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. To redeem Onesimus, there was forgiveness, there was restoration, but then there was an opportunity for service. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is Paul speaking. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What do we see demonstrated here in Onesimus' life? Was simply the grace of God. This man should still be in prison. This man did wrong, but he turned his ways around and coming to Christ. I don't think it's a good idea to say, well, the church is obligated to forgive me if I steal. No. There was a turn of life. There was a change of character. He went from someone that couldn't stay in one place to someone that is described as faithful. Now, there's wisdom in that transition, please understand. But here Paul uses him not just faithful by him, but he uses him as a messenger. Isn't that us? Didn't God entrust us with a message? Hey, I'd like you to deliver a message to him. I'm no good. Hey, remember where you found me? I was a thief. I couldn't keep a job. I was unfaithful. Yeah, but things are different now. You know me. And here, I want you to take the most important thing. I want you to take it to all the world. I want you to bring a letter back to where you came from. Hey, that's you and I. I feel like every single day I'm sent with a letter to knock at the door and say, my name's Nick, this is my son Sam, we're from Walker Bible Baptist Church, and can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Weren't you a sinner? Yeah, I was a sinner. But by the grace of God, things are different now. Isn't this Paul's life? Acts chapter number 9. Isn't this what Paul saw? Wreaking havoc in the church, causing all these troubles, and then in verse 8, Saul arose from Acts 9:8. Lord makes a house call to Paul's life. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus whose name was Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? He said, behold, I'm here, Lord. Where are you going to send me? What job do you have for me? Well, I'm glad you're seated. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, and one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and then he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he's here, He hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. I just want to make sure that that's the right guy. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house. And Ananias was faced with the fact that he too would have to forgive. Chances are Saul did harm to someone he loved and knew. And to restore and acknowledge that God had a plan for his life. And he says these words, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Saul saw this, what he's asking of Philemon and Onesimus firsthand, because he was Onesimus. He had done wrong. And some men took a chance on him, Ananias and Barnabas. God had a plan for his life. You may look at this, at your life, and go, you don't, I haven't lived the, I'd like to serve the Lord, but I'm not sure I am allowed to. Well, may this story comfort and encourage you. The story that we just told here today is repeated over and over again in our lives. Some days we are asked to be Philemon and demonstrate grace and forgiveness and mercy to someone that has wronged us. But at the same time, we're also Onesimus, who had done wrong by God and have done things that demand forgiveness. Now it is our turn to be restored, to be faithful, and serve God to the fullest. Each story depicts the God's character. See, in Luke chapter number 10, we're told of the Good Samaritan. There's a man that is left by the roadside, having been abused and taken advantage of and robbed and hurt. His fellow countrymen see that and they walk to the other side. The religious leaders of that day walk to the other side, not wanting to deal with the problems. And then the Good Samaritan comes by and he picks him up and he heals him and helps him and repairs him and helps him get on his way. See, that's what God wants of us. That's how God treated us. The world will just leave us for dead. It'll just leave us a mess. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. Where the world will leave you left for dead, God says, no, no, I'm going to clean you up. I got a plan for your life. If you're sitting here today and thinking, God doesn't have a plan. God's got a plan for your life. And these things that we read about here today, that's exactly how God has treated us. And that's what he expects from us in our treating of others. Are we treating each other the same way? There was a king who had suffered much. There was a king who had suffered much from his rebellious subjects. But one day they surrendered their arms, threw themselves at his feet and begged for mercy. He pardoned them all. One of his friends said unto him, did you not say that every rebel should die? Yes, replied the king. But I see no rebels here today. And that was our life. Hey, there was a time in your life that you were against the things of God. And you humbled yourself and you gave up your will and you throw it down on the altar and say, I no longer want to live for me. God, you rule my life. And God said, all right, I'll take that. Now I can use you. Where are you at in the story? Is there a knock at your door? And on the other side of the door stands Onesimus, needing forgiveness, needing an opportunity to restore. Are you Onesimus, having run from that which is right, only to find yourself confronted with the gospel here today? Is there a time when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sin? Hey, you owed a debt so much bigger than what you could ever repay. Even if you had a lifetime to try, you couldn't. And Jesus said, I'll pay for it all. I just need you to lay down your arms, humble yourself, and call upon me to save you. Where are you at in the story here today? Maybe you're Onesimus and thinking, I could never. If he used Paul, if he used a man like Onesimus, from a thief and a deserter to a faithful brother, he could use you and I. Let's all stand today. Maybe you'll go home today and Davion, your mom may ask, hey, how was church today? What'd you learn about? And you say, Philemon and Onesimus. And she'll say, I'm sorry, what? You say, let me tell you the story of God's grace and redemption. It's just one chapter. It's 25 verses. But it is so filled with challenges to our own daily life. The moment the music's going to play, wherever you fit in this story, I guarantee you need God's help. If it's for forgiveness, why don't you come forward and ask God to help you with that? Hey, I hear the door knocking, but I do not want to open it. I know what's on the other side. Maybe you're Onesimus and you've run from the Lord. It's time to turn back and give up that life. Throw down arms and say, God, here's my life. Use it however you want. It's amazing how it could take a thief and a deserter and make him faithful brother and fellow servant. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time. Lord, if someone here today isn't saved, that today would be the day that they ask the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. That they would be honest with you, acknowledge that they're a sinner and on their way to hell, but without you. And God, that they would call upon you and ask you to forgive them. Lord, I pray if someone here today is like that, that today would be the day. Lord, if someone's running from you, Lord, today that would be the day that they surrender, that they put down arms and say, King, use me however you want. Lord, if someone here today is confronted with the opportunity to demonstrate forgiveness, that they would come and they would open that door. These are such hard things. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?